Well, hey, everybody, I'm Pastor Jake. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for staying around. And if you haven't invited some friends to come and join you yet, make sure that you do. I'm about to preach to you a word that's really going to bless you, and it's going to just set you on a new path. I'm telling you that if you get a hold of the Word of God, and if you let the Word of God get a hold of you, your life will never be the same again. I wish I had time to tell you my story, but God changed my life radically in 1998, and if He can do that for me, He can do that for you. And believe me, we all need to be changed. We all need to be more like Jesus, man. If we would do that, the world and our lives would be a better place. Well, I'm about to preach you for just a little bit, but before we do that, I want to give you a couple of quick things to keep an eye out for. First of all, we have our next in-person event coming up on on June the 27th. That's the last Sunday of this month. Now, registration is not yet open, but it will be open this week. So keep an eye out in your notifications if you've already downloaded our app, as well as just keep an eye out on our website. You can get in touch with us. You can ask us when it's going to be released, and we'll let you know. But we hope that you get registered right away. The presence of God is going to be there. The power of God is going to be there. And some of the most amazing people on the planet are going to be there. So we can't wait to see you in person in Waikiki on June the 27th. Don't miss it. The next thing that I want to just let you know about is to make sure that you keep an eye on our calendar of events. We're going to be having things like our Compass course, which is our Basics for Believers class. We're going to be scheduling some baptisms coming up. We're just figuring out how to do all those things with the mandates. By the way, last thing I want to say before we get started into the Word of God today with this message is that if you see us with masks on and things like that, I just want to tell you that the reason why we're doing that is not because we have any fear whatsoever of any virus, of any disease, of anything. We don't have that. And if you're wondering how we can preach faith and how we can preach about people being healed and we're up here wearing masks or whatever, the only reason, let me say that again, the only reason why we're doing that is because we also believe that in Romans chapter 13, the Bible tells us that we are to submit to and that we are to give deference to the authorities that are over us. Now, I realize in the United States that we are a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and that we are a republic and not a democracy. However, I do want to let you know that we still have elected these people into office. And as a result of that, we are going to follow the mandates until they get changed, until they become unlawful or something like that. We are going to follow the mandates because that puts us in a position, listen to me now, it puts us in a position with God for God to move on our behalf. We cannot disobey the commandments of God and expect that God is going to move on our behalf. It just doesn't work that way. And even if I disagree with them personally or whatever, it is irrelevant. I'm going to listen to the Word of God and do what He tells me to do so that I can be in a position to be blessed. I want to tell you that we absolutely believe in healing. And I will tell you that if the mandates were changed, like right now, everybody probably just, or 99% of people in this church would rip the mask off their face and just keep on living life because we've been unfazed, untouched, unhindered by coronavirus or any other virus or disease. But I'm going to tell you this, family, I want to challenge you to health. To health in every area of your body, spirit, soul, and body, that you would be blameless in the presence of the Lord. And you know what? It's a hedge of protection against any kind of sickness or disease. God made your body so wonderful so that it would heal itself through the presence of God and the way that He created you to be. Enough with that stuff, but I do want to tell you that this church, we believe in healing. We believe in miracles. And if you need a miracle today, I'm telling you that my Jesus, my glorious Jesus, who is alive and well today, can give you that miracle that you need in your life. Your life is not over. It's not shot. There is absolutely hope for you. As long as there is breath in your lungs and a heartbeat in your chest, there is hope. Well, I'm going to preach a little bit about that today, and I'm going to preach to you a message. If you'd like a title for your message, the title of my message today is Thoughts. Very simple, thoughts. And if you would like to take notes, I hope that you do so that you're prepared for your Connect group, because I know that you're going to join a Connect group. I get those notes done. You can get them in the app. You can also get them on our website, and you can download them in PDF format on our website if you want to. Otherwise, take notes with us the old-fashioned way with a pen and a paper, or if you don't have that, you can use old-fashioned Palm Pilot, yeah? You can write on top of your palm with the Pilot pen. So if you would like to take notes, we highly encourage you to do that. All right, I'm going to say one more thing. Why do you want to be a part of a Connect group? This is why. That's the place where you can develop deep, authentic, long-lasting relationships. It's a place where you can have an expression of ministry. And it's a place where if you've got needs, people in that group will pray for your needs right there on the spot so that you can have your felt needs ministered to. By the way, if you have any prayer requests, you can go right to our website or to our app, and there's a section there for prayer requests. You can submit those, and we'll pray for you. There's even a spot on there if you need someone to contact you. We'd be willing to do that in a few days. All right, you guys ready? I hope that you guys are ready. Say these words with me. Thoughts, plans, hope, future. Come on, say it again. Thoughts, plans, hope, future. That's what we're going to be preaching about over these next few weeks in this mini-series. We're going to be journeying through the Word of God about these particular words for a very good reason. And I want to thank my pastor, Pastor Mel Mullen, for giving us the seed thoughts for this message. And you know what? I asked him if it was all right if I just took a short thing that he did and if I expanded on it in a mini-series, and he said, go for it. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go for it. And I'm so thankful that he brought this word that really blessed me, and I'm going to expand on it for the next number of weeks. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And many of you are so familiar with this passage. It is such a great passage to hold on to. It's on your screen right now, and it says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Some translations say, "I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord." So remember, we're talking about thoughts, plans, hope, and future. This is going to be our key text for the next few weeks as we dig into the Word of God. Today, I'm only going to be talking about thoughts. You know, if there's one thing that I've learned through my life as an athlete and also in so many other areas, including my intellectual pursuits and educational pursuits, there's one thing that I've learned. This thing that I've learned is that wherever your head goes, your body will follow. Wherever your head goes, your body is going to follow. In other words, thoughts are incredibly important. You know, when you look at that word thoughts in the original language, because the Bible wasn't written in English, it was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and Chaldee. And you know, if you go back to the original language, that word thoughts in this passage of Jeremiah 29:11, that word thoughts means this. It means to weave, or it means to fabricate. To weave or to fabricate. See, thoughts are so powerful because they are the thought starting point of everything. You could say it this way, that thoughts weave the very fabric of your life. Your thoughts weave the fabric of your life. You ever meet somebody who is an eternal pessimist? Have you noticed that their life is not overcoming? Their life is not, it's not superfluous. It's not like over the top. It's not bubbling over. Their life is a reflection of their thoughts. You ever find somebody who in the nastiest predicament, they're always like, "We can do it. We can do this." If you've ever watched that movie, Lone Survivor, I love some of the dialogue that goes on in between some of the SEAL team members. And they're like, you know, they're massively outnumbered, massively outgunned in so many ways. And they're consistently saying to one another, "We're still in the fight. If we can just get them down onto level ground, we've got them." I mean, there's like four of them taking on 150 of people. And they're saying, "If we can just get them onto flat ground, we've got them." See, you got to stay in the fight in your thoughts, because your thoughts weave the fabric of your life. I love how Pastor Craig Rochelle says it this way: your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. A number of us went out to Makaha Surf Beach over the Memorial Day weekend, and we had a great time hanging out together, fellowshipping and everything. It was wonderful, and we were out there. But one of the things that always impresses me about Makaha Surf Beach is that there is a crazy longshore current that runs on that beach. Now, what a longshore current is, it's not the one that rips out into the middle of the ocean, but it follows along the coast. And if you start in one place and if you're not paying attention, you're just frolicking in the waves and in the surf. And the next thing you know, you're 100 yards down the beach to the left-hand side if you're looking at the water. I mean, it's just pulling you and pulling you, and you don't even feel it. Your thoughts in so many ways are just like that, because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Man, we've got to watch our thoughts, don't we? This is why it's so important to guard the place where our thoughts begin and incubate. We've got to guard that place so strongly. So where is that place where our thoughts begin? Where is that place where our thoughts incubate? Here it is. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says this: keep your heart. That means guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Hebrews 4:12 says this: for the word of God is alive and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner, listen to this, of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Man, your heart is that place. It's that center of you where your thoughts originate from and where it begins to incubate into something that we'll talk about in just a little bit. Now, way back in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, God put Adam and Eve into the Garden of Eden. And at the very beginning, the task that Adam was tasked with, one of the aspects of it was this: to keep and to guard the garden. But the problem was that Adam didn't do it. He didn't do it. So what happened was that there was a serpent that got into the garden and started talking to Adam. Now, my advice to Adam would be, if there is a snake that starts to talk to you, kill it. Right? I mean, shotgun, blow its head off, chop its head off, smash it with a rock, do whatever you've got to do. But if there is a talking snake, there is a problem. But Adam didn't do that. And so what ended up happening was that he allowed the words of that snake to get into their ears and into their hearts. If he had originally kept the garden and kept that serpent out, no problem for the rest of humanity. It all started with the fact that he did not do what God told him to do by keeping and guarding the perimeter of that garden. You know, that garden is just like our heart, in the sense that that's the place where God wants to expand it to cover the entire earth. He wants our heart to be changed to be just like his. But if we don't keep it, if we don't guard it, some insidious things are going to get in there, and we've got the start of a massive problem. Adam and Eve's problem affected all of humanity for all the rest of time. You know, sometimes thoughts can get into our heart that didn't come from us or from God. What? How can thoughts get into our heart that didn't come from us or didn't come from God? Well, Pastor Jolie talked about that a little bit. When we spend time in the counsel of the ungodly, if you start watching things like, I know now some of you are going to hate me and you're just going to click it off, but I'm going to tell you that the program, The View, it is not a godly view. I'm going to tell you right now, you start letting that stuff get into your heart and you're going to get swept away in a direction that is not the godly direction. Be careful who you hang around, because bad company corrupts good manners, right? So there's thoughts that can come into our heart from other people. You know, I don't know if many of you know this about me, but for a number of years, I was hooked on pornography. And here's the reason why. When I was in ninth grade, a friend of mine, someone that I thought was a friend of mine, came up to me and handed me a magazine, and that was it. Yeah. See, I didn't go looking for it. I didn't go chasing after it. Yeah. It came looking for me. And then not only did I not think to go in that direction, but I only thought about going in that direction when my friend gave me the idea. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? We got to watch where those ideas are coming from, because it's not God's idea for many things. There are so many things that can get into our heart that God and us did not originate. You know, if you don't think that there's a devil out there, well, then I don't know what to tell you, except that the devil's real. And, you know, if we don't think that there's a problem, or if we don't think that there might be a situation that arises, we end up in this state where when it comes to self-defense and everything, people are in this category called white, and it's not a discriminatory color. It's just the color white. And what it means is that there is no problem. You're in a completely safe environment. There's no warning flags. There's no attentiveness. You're just totally checked out, like the world is a rosy place. Everything's okay. Nothing could possibly happen to me in this moment. And so you're just hanging out. But if we understand that there is a devil, and the Bible tells us that there's a devil, the Bible calls him the enemy of our soul. The Bible tells us that he is the accuser of the brethren. The Bible says he walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you don't think that someone's out there like that, then I'm going to tell you right now, you're probably living in condition white and you're not aware that he's trying to destroy you. If you are married, can I tell you that the Bible tells us that a house divided against itself cannot stand? Can I tell you that the devil has an assignment against every marriage, for it to break apart and for it to fail? Why? Because he knows that when there is discord and when there's strife and when there, people's lives can get broken through that process. My friend, there is a devil that we need to be aware of and fight against it, because there are things that come into our life that didn't come from us and didn't come from God. Some of them come right from the devil. You know that even Jesus had to fight against those thoughts and guard his heart? Let me point you to a passage of scripture. This one might blow your mind. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus was at all points tempted like we are. See, there are some people that think that Jesus was not able to be tempted. Wrong. He just overcame temptation. Some people say the quickest way to overcome temptation is to give into it. But that's not what Jesus did. He fought temptation and overcame it, right? Here's an area where Jesus was tempted like we are. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, 5 through 7, listen, it says this: the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. That's the highest place of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." Let me pause right there for a moment. If you are the Son of God, he was questioning or trying to get Jesus to put on this bravado that I am the Son of God. What's up? Right? He's trying to make him prove himself that he's this, that, or the other thing. And if you are that, then throw yourself down. I'll get to that in just a moment. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they will bear you up or carry you so that you don't dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, you notice that Jesus didn't say, I am the Son of God, what's your problem? He said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. See, Jesus didn't give in to that temptation to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple. See, now, if I knew that some angels were going to catch me if I jumped off the pinnacle of the temple, I might just do it, because I'm like kind of an adrenaline junkie. And I'd jump off that thing, woohoo, I'm all right. See, but Jesus didn't do that. He didn't need to prove his lordship. It was going to be proven in the long run. But here's the thing that was trying to happen. The devil was tempting Jesus with thoughts of suicide. Here, jump off this thing. Come on, Jesus. Let's see what you got. What if the angels didn't pick him up? What if they didn't catch him? If he could have ended Jesus' life and ministry, the world would not be the same place that it is today. He was tempted with thoughts of suicide. Come on, jump off this thing. Come on, just do it with me. Let's go. Come on, just jump off this thing. My friend, if you've ever been tempted with thoughts of suicide, I'm going to talk to you right now. Look at me in the beady little eyes. I want to tell you that it is an assignment of the devil to cut short your life so that you give up, so that you quit, so that your destiny cannot be manifested in the world around you. Because if he can cut off your destiny, he can cut off the destiny of the people that you're connected to. If you're not around to affect people, then they cannot be affected. I'm telling you that your destiny is so powerful that the devil is after your destiny and wants you to cut it off by yourself because he can't make you stop. Yeah. You've got to make that choice. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't give in to thoughts of suicide. By the way, you got to understand that something that's not a true temptation isn't actually tempting. This section of scripture is in the section of the passage of the Bible where it talks about that the devil tempted Jesus for 40 days and 40 nights. So this thing that happened right here, it was a temptation for Jesus to jump. It's not tempting. It's not a temptation if it's not tempting. He was tempted to do it. My friend, if you're tempted to attempt suicide or to go after cutting your life short or to ending your destiny, to just vanishing into thin air, into thinking that no, you're not valuable, you're not important, your life doesn't make a difference, those thoughts didn't come from you. Those thoughts certainly didn't come from God because he said, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you for a hope and a future, not to cut you off. I'm telling you that those thoughts are from the devil and I bind those thoughts over your life in Jesus' name. You need to stay around because there is someone that needs you. Amen. There are people in this world that needs you. Don't give in to that temptation. Right. I'm talking to somebody today. Amen. It's not actually a test unless there's a difficulty. You know, Jesus had some difficulty, I'm sure, in not just puffing out his chest and saying, I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. I am the King. I am the Son of God. I am all those things. I'm sure there was a temptation there and a difficulty there, but Jesus passed the test. Amen? We've got to know. See, the thing is that you've got to know how to fight and how to win on the battlefield of our thoughts. You know, in kind of modern history, the battlefield has changed. It's not the old red coats and the blue coats standing there in lines pointing guns at each other and then boom, fire, and a bunch of people drop and then you take turns reloading and see who has more people. It's not about that anymore. Now it's just like in Israel and with Hamas and all of that, Hamas is entrenched right inside of civilian populations. The landscape has changed. It's not just a wide open battlefield like if those of you watch Braveheart, you know, they're not coming into this big wide open field and charging horses with each other and chopping each other up. No, people are inside of an urban environment and they're entrenched in there. The battlefield has changed. My friend, if you don't realize that there is a battlefield that you're entrenched in right now, you got to get ready for battle and you need to know how to fight and win on the battlefield of your thoughts. So how do you do it? I'm so glad that you asked. How to fight and win in your thoughts? Let me talk to you about that for just a little bit. First of all, I want to tell you that the old life's weapons and strategies cannot fight the way that we need to fight in the new life. In other words, if we could bring the red coats back for a moment or something like that, if we could bring them back and they walked into a town nowadays and lined up, they would get annihilated. Not one of the other people would die because they would be up in some hide with a high power, variable optic, and they would be just mowing them down. I mean, you can't walk into a place like that anymore. Your old weapons won't work in the new battle. You've got to understand how to fight with the appropriate weapon. I think every once in a while, man, wouldn't it be fun to just go back in time to one of those huge battles and take an Apache helicopter? Or take a tank. I mean, what you gonna do about my tank, you know? And just, you could wipe everybody out with the right weapon in an old battle. See, the thing is, we've got to fight the new fight with the new weapons. The Bible tells us this in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. It says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." That word carnal, it means from the old life. It means the unregenerate nature. It's not the same way that everybody without Jesus fights. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." By the way, what's the highest point on your body? Your head. Guess what? That's where the battle is. That's where the strongholds are. That's the thing that we need to tear down in our minds and in our lives, bringing, listen to this, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We need to learn how to take thoughts captive. We need to learn how to arrest thoughts. We need to learn how to not let them run amok in our life. We've got to learn how to arrest those thoughts and tear down these things. I'm going to give you those tools today. First of all, here's the biggest thing that you need to know. Christ, see, it says bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What is Christ? It wasn't Jesus' last name. Christ is a title, and it means this, the anointed one and his anointing. We have to take every thought into the captivity. We have to arrest every thought with the anointed one and his anointing. So here's the thing. Words and thoughts that are not from God are not anointed. Let me say that again. Words and thoughts that are not from God are not anointed. So anything that goes against the Bible is not an anointed thought. No matter how politically correct it is, by the way, if you need to put an adjective in front of the word correct, it's not really correct. If you have to describe what kind of correctness you're talking about, it ain't actually correct. Correct is correct. I want to just, sorry, did I hurt somebody's feelings out there? I hope you're all right. You see, we got to give God the highest place. And anything that is not from his heart and from his mouth and from his mind and from his word, it is not anointed. So every thought, we might have this awesome thought or so we think, we've got to take it into the word of God and let the word of God arrest that thing and say, okay, now does it line up with scripture? Is it really from God's heart? And if it's not, that thing needs to stay arrested. Listen. It is our responsibility to captivate and arrest every thought not from heaven. See, if you get to heaven and you start promoting that thought, if God shuts you down, it ain't a godly thought. We have to arrest every thought. And the thing is, listen, it's our responsibility. It's not God's responsibility to protect our thoughts. You can pray all you want to, God, protect my thoughts. He ain't gonna do it. Why? Because he gave you the authority to arrest and to captivate every thought. He doesn't have to come in. He might help you. He might give you the power to will and to do of his good pleasure, but it is our responsibility. You know, there's so many Christians that just want God to do everything for them. God, if you want me healed, then I should just be healed. And then we eat like trash, and then we expect that God's going to heal. No, that's not the way this thing works. We need to do what God tells us to do, and the things that are impossible and beyond our scope, that's where God hops in. God working with them is how the Bible says it. We need to work with God, not against God, not for God. We got to work with God. How do we do that? We do according to his will. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10, 27 in the English Standard Version of the Bible says this, and in this day or in that day, his burden will depart from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And listen, the yoke will be broken. Another version says the yoke will be destroyed because of the fat. That word fat is actually the word anointing. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. You find that you're tied to a certain thought, a certain thought pattern, a certain behavior pattern. My friend, convincing yourself otherwise ain't going to just do the trick. You need the anointing to destroy the yoke. What's the point of the yoke? The yoke was something that tied oxen together. One could not just go off and wander into the woods and live happily ever after. No, it was indentured. It was a servitude. It was work. It was slavery. It was bondage. It needed to stay right there and could not move. But the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. You want freedom in your life? You got to get under the power of the anointing. Let me say it to you this way. The right thoughts and the right words carry the power to break yokes of weight and bondage off of your life. Amen. The right thoughts and the right words. The right thoughts and the right words. How do I know what those are? Because there's so many people. I mean, you can be fact checked until your face falls off. It doesn't mean that it's right. You got to have the right thoughts and the right words that get into your heart. That's the stuff that you've got to live by. See, just because we feel something doesn't mean it's the truth. Now, this is so powerful. You got to write this one down. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's the truth. For those of you that might be out there and you've been considering something like suicide, you might feel like there's no one that will even miss you if you're gone. Not the truth. Amen. You might feel like you're like this person or that person doesn't like you. Have you asked them? Because if you haven't, maybe you're wrong. Yeah. And maybe they just like to look up in the sky and they're not snobbing you. They just look up when they talk. Have you ever felt like this situation is terrible? I hate this situation. Maybe you feel like you're in this situation or that situation and you don't like it, but it's the right one that's going to change you. You know, sometimes I think it was Maya Angelou that said something to this effect. If you can't change what you want to change, change your attitude. See, sometimes it's not about the way that we feel. Sometimes we can feel wrong things. Have you ever felt something and then you found out later that you were wrong? You know, there's times in the nearly 20 years that my wife and I have been married, you know, very seldomly. But I felt it sometimes, like my wife didn't actually like me. But you know what? I was wrong. I was wrong, right? Yes. Yeah, I was wrong. I just had to double check. I wanted to make sure so that I'm operating in the truth and not a lie. See, some people walk around and their pervasive idea is that people don't like me. That's why I'm happier than you. I walk around thinking that everybody likes me until they tell me they don't. See, that's why we can't go by our feelings. Well, this just feels uncomfortable. Yeah, but just because it feels not a good way doesn't mean that it's not good for you. When you're giving and you're like, oh, I don't like the feeling of that, that doesn't mean that it's wrong. Yeah. It just means that we need to condition ourselves to feel that it's right. Yeah. Just because we feel something doesn't mean it's the truth. Oh, I feel like God doesn't love me. You're wrong. Amen. He loves you. Yeah. He loves you more than anybody. Yeah. There is no greater love as a man than this, and he would lay down his life for a friend. Yeah. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for you and me. I'm telling you, he loves you. Yeah. He laid down his life for you. I just don't feel like the pastor cares about me. I care. I actually care. I just don't feel like I'm welcome in this. But hey, you're welcome. You're very welcome. Just because we feel something doesn't mean it's the truth. In fact, there was this Nazi propaganda expert, and this is what he said. Repeat a lie often enough, and it becomes the truth. That's Joseph Goebbels, by the way. He was a Nazi propagandist. And his saying was this, repeat a lie often enough and it becomes the truth. Can I just tell you that if you keep telling lies to yourself, you're going to start to believe it. Even if you look in the mirror and even if you're the most gorgeous person on the face of the earth and you look in the mirror every day and you're like, oh my gosh, you're ugly. If you start doing that and you start repeating it over and over again, even though it is a lie from the pit of hell because you're gorgeous, you're going to start to believe it. And then you're going to start to try to take action to change it. And I'm telling you, we cannot continue to believe a lie and think that it's not going to turn out wrong. We've got to change things and trade in lies for the truth. But I don't like the truth. The truth doesn't feel good. But remember, the truth is important. Yeah. The truth is important. In fact, I would say it's the most important thing because the truth will make you free. It doesn't set you free. It makes you free. It changes your nature from the inside out. Now, I'm going to get down to a little bit of nitty gritty here because I know a lot of people do this. Remember, just because you feel something doesn't mean that it's the truth, right? I want to challenge you today in our day and age of social media and so much connection that is disconnected, but so much connection to so much information and thoughts and feelings and everything. I want to challenge you today. Don't look for things like memes, social media feeds, celebrities, talk shows, radio stations, whatever, who put voice to your feelings and simply make you feel like someone knows exactly how you feel. Because that doesn't help. You know what? It's called commiseration, right? If I'm miserable and someone else gets miserable with me, That's called commiseration. And that doesn't help me to not be miserable. Now we're just both miserable. What I need is I need someone who can encourage me and get me into a place where I'm not miserable anymore. See, sympathy doesn't help. The ability to change the situation helps. I'm going to challenge you right now. I mean, go right through all those pages that you followed, that you like, that keep pumping it into your feed, that you feel miserable, that you feel terrible, that no one cares, that delete them. Because that is not the word of God over your life. God loves you. He has hopes and plans and futures for you. And you keep fighting that with the stuff that you keep pumping into your brain. Don't do it. If your feelings and your thoughts are not aligned with God's word about you, those things simply reinforce the feelings and thoughts that are the enemy of your destiny. Don't reinforce the enemy of your destiny. You've got big things in store for you. You've got hope in front of you. You've got a future that is unmatched. You are unique in the universe, and there is no one like you in all the earth. I'm telling you right now that you need to stop allowing those things to dumb you down, because God has great things for you, and your future has not even been seen yet. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has planned and prepared for you. I don't know who you are, but I know that the plans and the thoughts and the purposes and the hope and the future that God has for you is wide open. Yeah. There's nothing that can stop you in God's destiny for your life. But here's the problem. A lot of us don't know what God thinks about us. We think we know what God thinks about us. And a lot of people come up with that God doesn't like us, that God is angry with us, that God is disappointed in us, that God really is just like, he hopes that we die so we can get to heaven and he can perfect us. We're wrong about what God thinks about us. You ever been wrong about what somebody thinks about you? I've been dead wrong about what people think about me. But you know what? Here's the way that we can do it. You go to the source and you ask. How do you do that? So you go to the pages of the Word of God, because God wrote it all down. He was so nice to us. We don't even have to talk to him, but we should. And we can go right to the pages of the Bible and we can find out what God says about us. In fact, I think our media team is dropping a link right now to a Dropbox link. It's a PDF of 50 things or 51 things that God says about you. He says things like this, that you're worthy. He says that you're a success. He says things like he chose you above everybody else. He chose you. Not by default, he chose you. It tells you that God has called you forgiven. Yeah. The Bible tells us that God says that you are accepted, that you're welcome, that God loves you, that you're the head and not the tail, that he's called you to prosperity. He tells you that you're going to be blessed coming in and going out. I'm telling you, if you would get these things into your heart, instead of listening to The View, instead of listening to propaganda, instead of listening to the lie, why don't you put the truth on the inside of you? You start doing this, I challenge you, I double dog dare you right now. Get that list, and for the next 30 days, declare those things over yourself, once in the morning and once at night. Start looking at yourself in the mirror and say those 51 things that God says about you over your life, and I tell you right now that by the end of 30 days, your life will be significantly different. You're going to start to believe the truth rather than the lie. Why do you want to believe a lie anyway? The Bible tells us that's a sign of the end times, though, that people are going to turn to fables rather than to the truth. Don't turn to fables. Turn to the truth. I'm almost done. I want to land this plane in just a little bit, but I got to talk to you about when thoughts become words, because that's what happens when thoughts get incubated in our heart. Listen, be aware of the words, the images, and the thoughts that you allow to enter and stay unarrested in your heart. See, if something comes in that's contrary, see, but if you don't know what the Word of God says, you don't know what's contrary to the Word of God. You got to know what it says. Then when something contrary comes in, you arrest it. You arrest it by the anointing. You arrest it. No, that's not what God says about me. There's lots of days, honestly, where I feel like I'm a failure. I feel it. Do you know that it's dead wrong? But I feel it anyway. And you know what I got to do? I got to arrest that thought and not let it fester in my heart. See, our mind and our heart is the incubation station for the thoughts that are going to be given birth to, or going to be birthed as words. Eventually, you let it stay around in here. Eventually, it comes out of your mouth. I always listen to what my kids are saying, because when they start to say certain things, I'm like, hey, where did you get that from? Because we don't say that. We don't think that. But I know that it's in your heart. Well, it's just something I said. No. It's not just something that you said. Because you don't just say things. It's in there. So we need to get it out there. Amen? Luke 6:45 says this: a good man of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For listen, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Man, and I will also say, your thumbs speak. I will also say that your 10-key typing speaks. Out of the abundance of your heart, it comes out. If nastiness comes out, if depression comes out, if woe is me comes out, if all these nasty things come out, it's in there. It's in there. Just because a zit is not a whitehead doesn't mean there's nothing in there. You know what I'm talking about. You smush it enough and boom, it comes out on the mirror. Our life is just like that. When we get squeezed, things come out. And it's like, oh, I didn't even know it was in there. Well, thank God now you know it was in there. Better deal with it. Don't let it stay in there. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I will say this, that thoughts that stay as thoughts don't produce like thoughts that become words. But they're still powerful, because if you leave them in there, eventually they will become words. Listen, if we let the wrong thoughts remain and fester in our hearts, we will start to believe them. Then they will inevitably come out. You leave it in there, it will come out. Just like, you know, we've got this very thriving birth ministry. And sometimes when they're getting nearer to the end of their pregnancy, women are like, I just want it to be over. Why won't this thing come out? I'm telling you, it's going to come out. Eventually, it's going to come out, because you can't carry a 16-year-old in there. It's going to come out. It's the same way with thoughts. You leave it in there long enough to incubate, and it will come out. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this: and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, that's a great scripture. It's on the positive side. I believed and therefore I spoke. I believe faith, so faith came out my mouth. That's a good thing. But it also works on the other side of the coin. That when we've got nasty things going to come out. Whatever's in will come out. Whatever's in will come out. Here's the blessing or the potential problem. Proverbs 18:21 says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. See, your tongue is neutral. It's a tool, right? It's like a hammer or something like that. It is a tool. You can use a hammer. You can build a house. You can also use a hammer and cave someone's head in with it. It's not the tool's fault. It's the wielder of that tool. Your mouth inside of your face, I mean, I know it's a small, unruly member is what the Bible says. We got to watch out for it, because it's like the rudder of a ship. Compared to a ship, a cruise ship, the rudder is very small, but it determines exactly where that ship is going to go. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and it depends what you choose to put in your mouth, which is the abundance of your heart, that comes out, which will determine death or life, which one you're going to live in. Mark 11:23 says this: for assuredly, that means without a doubt, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You know that whatever word, man, that word is scary. Because whatever you say, you're going to have. I mean, if you thought that you actually believed that scripture, I bet you would be so much more careful with your words. Because you start talking to your dog, you're such a dumb dog. You know why you got a dumb dog? Because you keep saying that. Because you're going to have whatever you say. You keep saying to your spouse, man, you don't love me. You know why they don't love you? Because you keep saying that. Quit saying it. You got to say the right things. You will have whatever you say when you don't doubt it in your heart. See, whatever good or bad, whatever you say without doubt in your heart, you're going to have it. You are going to have it. And the thing is that we can be so convinced. You ever been so convinced about a lie that you believed it? Remember, all you got to do is say a lie often enough and it becomes the truth. And sometimes we can believe so strongly in a lie, whether it's Jesus is not alive, healing is not for today, whether it's that this person doesn't like me, whatever it is. You can believe so strongly in your heart about a lie that you have no doubt whatsoever. And when you let that come out of your mouth, guess what? You have whatever you say. Let me say it to you this way. Believe enough in a lie and let it come out of your mouth. You'll have that result. Guaranteed. It's the principle of God, and it works positively and it works negatively. I want to challenge you to believe so strongly what God says about you that you let it come out of your mouth and you will have whatever you say. I'm almost done. Psalm 149 verse 6 says this: let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand. I'm telling you, I love this scripture because it equates praise and weapons. I like that. I look at it like this: putting the right thing in your heart and your mouth becomes a powerful weapon of success in life. Hey, you know what? I'm going to challenge you to do this. Maybe record yourself or get some friends around you that every time you say something negative, you get a tick mark. Every time you say positive, you get a tick mark. And you can look at the trajectory of your life. And I can tell you where you're going to be in a number of months just simply by looking at the columns. Because if you say more negative things about you than you say positive things about you, guess where you go in? See, like one of our great young men reminded me at Connect Group this past Friday, your attitude determines your altitude, right? That's an aeronautical term, right? Your attitude, nose up or nose down, is going to determine your altitude. I want to challenge you to start getting a nose-up attitude when it comes to your words, that you just say positive things. I mean, what if everything, all hell is breaking loose around you? Guess what? You don't have to talk about that. You can say, if God is for me, who can be against me? It's not that you don't notice the thing that's hitting the fan. You just got your shield up, you know? You don't have to get hit by the stuff. I think it's important that we have nose up attitude in our heart. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. My last two scriptures, and I'm done. It says this in Psalm chapter 119, verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, I wish I had time to go into that. It's actually really sinful of us to contradict what God says about us. When God calls us accepted and we're like, we're not accepted. When God calls us chosen and we're like, God would never want to choose me. When God says that you're anointed and you're like, oh, I don't have any anointed. I mean, really contradicting God, that's pride and that's sin. But here's the thing. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want the right thing to come out of your mouth, you got to put the right thing in. You cannot put wrong things in and expect to get right things out. That's why we've got to keep on putting in the word of God into our heart. That's why we got to keep on putting in what God says about us. We got to put those good sound bites in. Stop listening to those bad sound bites and attaching to them. Yeah, that's me. I identify with that. Look, don't identify with that. Identify with what God says about you and your life will change. Hide it in your heart, because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Just keep on pouring in. Last scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 says this: this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Why is that so important? See, God wants to get his law and his word in your heart and in your mind. Why? Because it'll change what this little thing on your face will say. When we can get God to get his word in our heart and in our mind, and can I tell you that it just takes a volume of time? You just keep pouring it in. How do you know the things that you know? Because you put them in over all these years. Why do I know so many vocabulary words that people don't know? Because I actually put vocabulary words in there. And that's the thing, is that whatever we choose to put in, it's going to come out. Whatever we invest in, we're going to get a reward and a harvest off of. I want to challenge you today that if you've been putting in the wrong things, change. Like I always tell people, look, if you're on the mainland and you're on the I-5 freeway heading north, you know you can go all the way to another country. If you don't want to go to another country, stop. Get off. Turn around. Take another road, because there's lots of other roads. Well, I've just been invested in this for so long. Hey, I don't care about how long you've been invested. You could be invested in being a professional mope. But don't be mopey just because you've been. My daddy was mopey, and my grandpa was mopey, and my great-grandpa was mopey, so we all just a mopey family. No, don't be mopey. Just change it. If you don't like it, change it. And if you can't change it, change your attitude. Man, it is so important that we determine you have control. I want to tell you that today, that you are not a product of your circumstances. You're not a product of your situations. You're not a product of anybody else. You are a product of what you choose to do. I know that is such an unpopular thing today because everybody wants to be a victim, because if we're a victim, then it's not our fault. But we are today where we are because of this one thing called choices. I want to challenge you today to make a different choice, make a different investment, make a different lifestyle, make a different pathway for yourself. And how do you do that? Instead of doing it the old-fashioned way, how you've always done it, maybe how your family has always done it, how everybody else around you has always done it, do it different. And here's the good news for you. You have the power to change it because God gives you the power to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let me tell you that God's destiny for you, remember, thoughts, plans, hope, future, it's like this. It's not like this. God wants you to go up in life. You should be better today than you were 5 years ago. You should be better 5 years from now than you are today. You should be constantly getting better. Put the word of God in your heart. Let me give you one thing. And then for those of you that don't know Jesus Christ, I want to offer you salvation real quickly. Just one thing. I want to challenge you with this today. Fight to put God's words about you in your heart, your mind, and in your mouth. Arrest every competing thought so that you can experience God's results in your life. God's results are good results. They're the best results. They are heaven's results for you. And if you can do that, and if you'll make that choice today, it starts, by the way, with letting Jesus Christ be in your life and be the Lord and the Savior of your life. Jesus doesn't only want to save you and rescue you from where you've been and redeem you from where you've been, but he also wants to be your Lord so that he can guide you into the best place for your life. See, if we'll tuck in behind Jesus, if we'll follow him, see, so many people have a problem with lordship with Jesus because they're afraid that God is gonna make them do weird stuff or stuff that is not okay or bad stuff or whatever. In him is light and there is no darkness at all. Jesus only has good things for you. And if you follow him, if you tuck in behind him as the Lord, he gets to lead and you follow, he will always take you to a good place for your life. Does that mean that there aren't going to be hard spots in between? No. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. That doesn't mean that you're not going to go through trials and tribulations and all that, but the good news is that Jesus is going to be with you, and he is the miracle worker. He is the all-powerful one. He is the all-knowing one, and he will lead you if you will follow him. So today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or maybe he's been Savior, but he hasn't been Lord, I want to invite you today to make a change in your life, to put him at the helm, to get your life back redeemed, and to have Jesus orchestrate your thoughts, your plans, your hope, and your future. And it starts by letting him in and giving him control of your life. Maybe you've been a Christian before. Maybe you gave your life to Jesus once upon a time, but you've been living your own way. Maybe you've been pulled aside, and maybe you've been listening to what the world and the world system and talk shows and social media and all those things have to say about you, and you've forgotten that God has a plan for your life. I want to invite you to come back home to Jesus today and to recommit your life to him, to follow his way, his truth, and his life, because I know that blessing is on the other side of that. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you'd like to come back home to Jesus with a recommitment, here's how you do it. The Bible says you need two things. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. He's not dead. He is absolutely alive. That's why he's speaking to your heart today, because he knows you and he knows your heart and he loves you enough to take you out from where you are. Here's the second thing. You need to give Jesus the lordship over your life. You need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Remember, he's only going to lead you into good places, not into bad places. But you've got to try to give him control over your life. You're not going to do it perfectly, just like I don't do it perfectly. But you know what? That's our heart's desire, is to let Jesus lead, and we're going to follow. So if you can do those things today, I want to invite you to receive Jesus Christ into your life and to gain salvation and to make sure that your destination is heaven above. Without Jesus, there's no way to get to heaven. Today, if you'd like to pray with me, I'd like to pray with you. It's not a prayer that saves you. It's believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth and doing business with God. When you do business with him, he'll do business with you. And by the end of these next few seconds, you'll be saved. I hope that you'll pray with me today. I want everybody in this room, if you'll just pray with me, whether you're saved or not, if you'll pray with me, and if you need to get saved, you need to give your life to Jesus, you're ready for a change, just mean it as you pray. Come on, let's pray together. You guys ready? Just repeat after me. Say this. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that he is alive and that he is working in my life today. I want to give control of my life to Jesus. I want to say that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And I will follow him into my destiny. Because of these things, I know that I am now saved. I'm called a child of God, and my future is bright. I have a hope. Help me to live it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, you prayed it for the first time, would you just drop into the comments, I got saved today. We want to give you a Bible and a great gift and tell you how to take your next step in Jesus Christ. One of those first steps is, come back again next week and be in the house of God. Come and join us online or come and join us in person. Contact our office. You can come right to where we do this live stream from. And we've got a few people that are able to be here with us. We'd love for you to be with us. If you recommitted your life to Jesus today, would you just drop into the comments, I gave my life back to Jesus, or I recommitted my life today. We also want to bless you with a gift and with a Bible if you'd like one. And we want to help you to walk out that life with Jesus Christ. By the way, whatever it was before, wherever your life was heading before, if you made Jesus the Lord of your life, all those things are canceled. All bets are off. And you know what? Your future is bright. Your hope is alive. And the thoughts and the plans of God can be activated in your life. And I pray that you'll let us walk with you into that amazing destiny. And it doesn't even appear what it's going to be. It's going to run you over from behind. And I promise you that it is good, good, good. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so glad to be able to preach this word to you, and I hope that it blessed you. Come back next week. We're going to talk about hope. If you need hope, I want to give you hope next week. It is going to be an amazing message, and it's going to bless you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet and everything in between. We hope that you'll come and join us for prayer on Wednesday night, 6:30 to 7 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time, and then a following with the time of communion. And then also, we want to invite you to come back again next week to join us right here at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time to be with us for live praise, live worship, and the preaching of God's word. In the middle of that, if you need prayer, reach out to us. We'll pray for you. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.